If you're an education leader or visionary for improving our school mental health system, then you're in the right place. I'm your host, Charlie Peck, keynote speaker and school mental health consultant. Make sure you download our free school mental health audit at thrivingeducator.org/audit to assess your current system with your mental health team. Now that's thrivingeducator.org/audit. Make sure you pick that up. All right, let's get started with today's episode. Hi, this is Charlie Peck from the Thriving Educator Podcast, and we have Sam Dema on. Did I get that right, the last name?
Dema? You did.
I didn't ask you that before, and I want to make, of course, we know names are important. We talked about that before we started recording, but thank you for being here. I am so excited to share you with my audience, which I told you about before, because you have a ton to share and great energy. So welcome first, Sam.
Charlie, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, okay. So here's what people need to know about you. First of all, I put right on the show notes that you have an ebook that people can just download right now. All right. So that's easy. It's ebook.samdema.com. I usually wait, but it's a great resource. So I want people to go there like right now. And there's actually like you were promoted by the New York Times best-selling author, Diana Kander, who said it's a must read for young dreamers. And the reason this is important is because the way you talk and speak to students is incredible, Sam. So, okay. First of all, you need to tell us why you're speaking to students and what you're speaking them to about. No, what are you speaking about to students? Sorry.
Hearing that introduction makes me feel very honored and humbled. Thank you so much. It's crazy to hear some of those things even now. I started speaking to students 5 years ago after going through my own challenges with mental health as a high school student. I was pursuing a dream to play professional sports and had 3 major knee injuries and 2 surgeries, lost a full ride soccer scholarship to a Division I university, and found myself in a really challenging place. During that transition, had a teacher who inspired me, and it put my life on a totally different trajectory. And I know there are so many things that I needed to hear when I was going through that difficult situation that people around me weren't aware of or didn't know that I needed to hear certain things. And now I want to be that source and be that person for young people and even teachers and educators when they're going through their own challenges and struggles.
Yeah. Okay. We need to give a shout out to that teacher if you're okay mentioning that teacher's name.
Yeah. Michael Loudfoot. We actually still stay in touch. I have a lunch or a coffee on his porch at least once a year. And he's now retired, but he made such a big impact.
And what did he actually say and do? Like, what was that impact?
There was a lesson in class he taught that, funny enough, when I ask him about it now, he tells me he doesn't recall or totally forgot this lesson, which is so funny because for the educator listening to this, you might think that, you know, your lessons aren't having an impact or they're not making a difference. But I promise you, there are students in your classroom being impacted by your actions and also just the energy you carry each day. He taught a lesson in class titled Small Consistent Actions. The idea behind the lesson was that if we wanted to change something in our lives or in the community, we could embody what other game changers in the world did to make such a big impact. And what they all did, he said, was take small, consistent actions. And so he challenged us to go in the community as students of his classroom and take a small, consistent action. This is after I stopped playing soccer, after my 2 injuries and the surgeries. And I didn't know what I should do or could do in my community. But every day I would walk home asking myself that question after that class. You know, what small action can I take? And while walking home, I saw a coffee cup on the sidewalk. And I felt the urge to bend down and pick it up. And that led to this idea of picking up trash, just walking home from school each day. And then a buddy saw me. And he was like, man, why don't we do something together with this? And we ended up starting a volunteer group while I was still a senior in high school. Wow. Where we would pick up garbage for 1 hour once a week. And that led to an organization where we filled over 3,000 bags of garbage, gave out 6,000 volunteer hours. And it was featured all over my mom's Facebook page. And it continues to this day. But that's really what my teacher taught me and what started this whole journey in the first place.
Why, Sam, do you think you needed to hear that message at that exact time?
Sometimes as young people, the success of a future career, of our next step in our educational journey, feels so far away. We feel like we need to be a certain age or have a certain education before our actions matter and make a difference. I needed to be reminded that no, every small action you take matters, not only toward yourself, but also toward the people around you. I had moments while I was going through that challenge where people in my school community and even my athletic community made jokes about my injuries and having an early retirement. And they had no idea that every single day I would go home at that point in my school journey and I would uncontrollably cry myself to sleep. Now, if they understood the impact of their small choices, that it not only works in a positive way, but also a negative way, I think the people around me also would have been a little more careful with the words they choose to use and the choices they chose to make toward me and also other people in the school community. And so small actions, I think it works in both ways. They compound to make a really positive difference. But if used negatively, it compounds to make a negative impact. So just to be more cautious about our choices and understand the impact they have is really the reason why I think that message is so important.
It is in that setting, especially, and especially because so many teenagers are, and younger kids and young teens, like I work with middle schools a lot too, but I'm zoning in on you here because were you a senior? Like that was your last, the 12th grade year then?
Yeah,
You
correct.
talked scholarship, right? And that was an incredible loss to you in that moment. And other adults may not appreciate how devastating that was to you. So I'm wondering, what do you think you looked like, or how did you maybe look different or act different as a result of that, that you wished others would pick up on?
I was always the student in my school who made everybody laugh, who came to school with a milk carton that I would fill up with water. People would walk past the classroom taking photos and making jokes. That stuff was all fun. But I would always go out of my way to try and be a source of hope and inspiration for the people around me. So no one knew what was going on internally, for me at least, because I didn't show it on the outside, which is why I think it's so important, the message of emptying your backpack and the backpacks that we carry that nobody else sees. Some of the messaging I talk about with students and even staff, because I was one of those students who had an invisible backpack filled with thoughts and challenges that the people around me didn't recognize. So to answer your question, I think I looked the same when I was at school, when I was struggling, or when I was doing really well. I just didn't personally show it.
So how many of those students are sitting in our buildings who are hiding and masking those problems, do you think? You don't have to put a number to it, but generally.
I think the best way to answer that question is to have the listener do an experiment. I have a follow-up activity for my programs called the Classroom Backpack. And the idea of the activity is to get an idea of what some of the things are that students in your classroom are carrying, but to do so in a way that generates empathy and keeps it 100% anonymous. The idea is you have every student in your classroom or staff write down on a piece of paper something they're carrying in their backpack, a challenge or circumstance that they think nobody else is aware of, without their name on it. And then you collect all these pieces of paper and have one person read it in front of the entire classroom. And you'd be really surprised some of the things that people are going through that you have no idea. I was on a phone conversation with a staff member from a school in New Jersey, Franklin Park. And we had a beautiful conversation and we ended up doing some work together, and I was at one of the schools, Claremont Elementary School. And the day after the speech, sorry, the day before the speech, we had dinner, and I was just asking her how things are going, how's her personal life, and we made a really nice connection. And she said, "You have no idea, but right before that call that we had, where we organized the presentation, and you told me about the work that you're doing, I was going through a divorce." And I was holding back tears during the entire 45-minute call that we had. And I'm getting goosebumps just telling you this. It's not just the students. We're all human, so we all have a backpack. I don't know what the number is or the percentage, but I would say do an exercise like that in a classroom or with a group of 100 students, and you will quickly recognize that we are all humans, and because we're all humans, we all have a unique mess. And that's what makes us all human. And And it will force you to think differently before you interact with students or any other human being.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness, humanizing people and understanding them. So you work with staff too, like school staff, to help them not only understand the needs of students, but themselves.
And to help them realize that the work they do matters. I think there are so many under-recognized and appreciated people in education that second guess if their actions are making a difference or an impact. And being someone who was incredibly inspired and redirected by a teacher in my life, I try to put a spotlight on that and help other educators know that the way they show up makes a difference.
What do you think, Sam, a thriving, and I use this because this is what we talk about a lot, but a thriving school community actually looks like and feels like?
I'm curious to hear your perspective too, because I know you've visited so many over the past 20 years, not only as a teacher for 18, but now as a consultant working with schools all across the country. I'll share what I envision, and then I would love to hear your thoughts as well. I've done work in some independent schools. The way I envision the classroom is with an oval table where everyone can see each other's faces and have open discussions. Rather than some students sitting behind others with a lack of interaction, I envision a school where there is project-based learning, where there is more physical activity and a focus on the importance of moving your body to also support mental health. I envision a school where there's interdisciplinary challenges and problems, where subjects, are intertwined when looking at a challenge as opposed to in silos. I envision a school system where there is homemade pizza for lunch, without pineapples.
Not a fan, are you?
I think those are some of the things that come to mind when I think about education and where I believe some of the opportunities still exist.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you and I have already talked about that because that is so in line. And one of the things you and I talked about before is I used to work in Canada. I got to teach in Canada. You're from Canada. I know you do a ton of work in the US, but also you get that amazing perspective of culture. And we got to compare different countries in the world and what they're doing in education with the curriculum I got to teach. And it encompasses all of that. And it's also about that movement. What you said there was fantastic. How many kids are sitting there just craving the movement and how better they can learn and engage in their environment and then feel safe to engage and learn. There's just so much to that. And there's plenty of evidence. But you also mentioned sitting in that oval table. And I did that many times in our classroom. We came together as community. And there's a lot of evidence about community and community circles and just so it's so much leaning on each other. Leaning on each other. And that's what I love about your message is it's you can't do this in silos. You've got to lean on each other. And we talk about that. You don't even have to be in education to know that. And yet your perspective needs to be heard in education so much more because we need to do it there. So now I'm going on a tangent. You opened that door, man. You shouldn't have done that.
I
I could
appreciate
talk
you
for
sharing.
hours about it. Let's bring this back to you though, because I want to highlight truly the incredible work that you're doing. I want people to know who are listening that you've got to get Sam in to talk to your students first. And then you need to have him deliver his message to the adults in the building because they need to hear about this incredible connection. You've done two TED Talks. You created your own organization, right, as a young adult. And I'm like, young man. And then, like, look what else you've done. So you've won awards. You've been on TV. You've been featured. Like, what all have you been doing? Tell us more about that. People are interested.
Yeah, so growing up, my parents fed me a lot of protein shakes, and it I've been working incredibly diligently toward this goal of helping young people and empowering staff and educational facilities since I was 17. I am 24 years old now. More recently, I just wrapped up a national speaking tour called Empty Your Backpack. We stopped in 87 school communities across the country,
Wow.
roughly 40,000 participants involved. It was launched after I released and launched my book titled Empty Your Backpack. And if anyone searches Empty Your Backpack online, you would find the website for the tour or the book or the spoken word poem or some of the news features. The tour was inspired by a conversation with a high school student on an Instagram live conversation. I was asking this young man what his dreams and goals were, and he told me, one, he wanted to be an actor in movies and TV shows, and secondly, he wanted to have 50,000 followers on social media. Confused as to why this young person wanted followers, I just asked him, Charlie, I said, what in your life would change if I snapped my fingers and suddenly 50,000 people started following you? And this young man said, if I had 50,000 followers, kids at school would stop bullying me and calling me names.
Oh my gosh.
And he turned off the screen on his phone and went completely silent. And I'm so thankful there was another 30 students watching the call live who didn't just sit there and do nothing. They immediately started filling the chat box with the most positive comments. It took us 5 minutes to get this young man to turn his camera screen back on. And when he did, there was tears running down his face. We connected him with some support staff at school. We sent him merchandise in the mail. But after the call ended, I couldn't stop thinking about this idea that this young man has been carrying around other people's negative thoughts and opinions about him. And I wondered how long he'd allowed those thoughts and opinions to change the way he saw himself.
Hello, middle-level educators. Are you looking for a nationwide type of conference at the fraction of the cost? The North Carolina Association for Middle-Level Education welcomes you to Charlotte, North Carolina, March 24th through the 26th for the 2024 NCMLE Inspire Conference. My name is David James, NCMLE Marketing and Conference Director, and I want to personally invite you to our annual conference. You will not want to miss our keynote and featured speakers that leads over 120 middle-specific teaching and learning sessions. Our featured lineup includes EDU experts from across the country, such as principal and leadership expert Baruti Kafele, Darren Pepperd, LaQuanta Nelson, Zach Bauermaster, and the host of this podcast, educational expert Charlie Peck. The NCMLE Inspire Conference is for everyone. Go to ncmle.org to register your team for the 2024 NCMLE Inspire Conference today.
And as I was thinking about carrying opinions, the idea of a backpack came to mind. And I was writing a spoken word poem at the time that was advice for high school students. It was going to be an album called Dear High School Me. And I got so obsessed with this imagery of a backpack, I changed the project title to Empty Your Backpack. And I wrote this poem. And after I wrote the poem, I thought if you're carrying lots of negative opinions, you probably have a pretty big backpack, metaphorically. And so I went online and I searched giant backpack and found this 4 foot red bag. And that, along with the book that I wrote and the spoken word poem, became a whole tour. And so, more recently, that was the main project that I'd been working on for about 2 years. It just wrapped up, and today I'm working on a children's book about kindness and a tour that we're going to be launching in the summer in Kenya for 6 weeks.
My goodness.
And I think the inspiration comes from, yes, my struggles from my younger self, but also the idea that I believe every single one of us, every human being's purpose in life is to become the best version of ourselves and then share that version with the world. And that's what I'm striving to do every single day in the hope that it will inspire other people, young and old, to do the same.
You have something that a lot of people wish they had, and that is insight, reflection. Like you are able to reflect and learn from your reflection, which that is very mature, and also action. Then you take action. And that is exactly how we make change in this world, Sam. And that is exactly why people need to have you in to impact their people, because this conversation right now is impacting tons of people you're not even aware of. What is your work in Kenya? What are you going to do there? That's
So,
fascinating.
I have a friend named Brian who 4 years ago saw my TEDx talk, Small Consistent Actions Online, and sent me an email. He had written a book, and he was a young man at the time, maybe 17 years old, like I was when I started. And he quoted me in the book, and it just touched my heart. I was like, this kid from Kenya found my work and put me in his PDF and emailed me. Like, this is crazy.
Wow.
And from that moment forward, at least once a year, he'd message me on Instagram saying, "Hey, Sam, come to Kenya, come to Kenya. There are schools here." Because Brian is doing similar work with schools in Kenya. And I always told myself it's too far away. I'm too busy. There's not enough time. It's over the summer. I want to relax. That's when schools are closed, or at least some parts of the summer. But for some reason, after doing the backpack tour just this past year, my soul was feeling like it needed a new life experience. Something was pulling me towards Brian in Kenya. So I shot him a message. I said, "Hey, Brian, I'm thinking about coming to Kenya this summer. What are your thoughts?" He immediately lost his mind, sent me a message back, and was like, "Let's do this. I'll set up the schools." And we chose a 6-week period. And the cool part is that I've involved one other individual who's also a close friend of mine named Zian. He grew up in Tanzania. He grew up in Mombasa, which is in Kenya. But he was born in Tanzania. And he now lives in Vancouver, Canada. And I called him. I said, "Hey, if I do this trip, would you come with me? It'd make me feel a little more safe. And I think it would be a great time." So he got me, this Canadian who's never been to Africa. Then we got Zian, who grew up in Africa, but now lives in Canada, has had both experiences. And then we have Brian, this stranger on the internet that I've never met in real life, who's never been to Canada, spent his whole life in Africa. So all three of us are coming together to share stories in schools to help youth in Africa recognize that they have these talents and gifts embedded within them, and the world needs it to let their light shine.
Oh my gosh, you said so many things there. I'm like, I gotta go back and listen to this and write it down and then share it out as a quote. It's really great. Oh my gosh. Okay, Sam. Yeah, a friend of mine, a teacher friend of mine, Christy Lockyer, she was incredibly connected to Zambia. I don't know,
Oh,
you
wow.
Canadians might call it Zambia, in Africa. And I learned a great deal from her about that culture. And I know that that's regional, and I know every other culture has different, thoughts and feelings and different things. But I also taught a lot about Kenya and their belief systems and practices and stuff. So it's
Wow.
really fascinating that you get to have worldly connections like that, that people your age don't even consider doing. And so you're taking a major leap. And so what it does is it promotes leadership among your age group, your generation, and those connections with others. And I can't say it enough. The risk that you take is so important for that kind of change that we need in this world to bring people together. So I appreciate you and I thank you for that. It's an important thing that you're doing.
I appreciate the kind words. I am going into that experience with some thoughts of what it will be like, but I'm sure Kenya has 100 other experiences for me in store that I'm not even mentally prepared for. I have a feeling it's going to change my life and change the lives of many. So, heart's full, and I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, that's what Christy told me all the time is like how much it just changed her and changed her perspective and her heart. And you mentioned soul, and it's like, oh my gosh, that's what are we doing here? What are we trying to do here on this earth? Well, you're doing it. You are doing it. You're making a huge impact. Okay, you've got to tell people about the Taco Bell partnership.
Taco Bell partnership.
I love it.
During the challenging times of the pandemic, at least where I was living at the time, lots of the schools were shut down, couldn't participate in extracurricular activities, practices for sports were canceled, people's businesses were shutting down. I remember how I felt. It was a tough time. So I called my friends to check in on their mental health. One of my good friends, his name's Andrew. I called him at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, and the first thing he told me was that he was still lying in bed. And I thought, if you're still in bed at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, you're probably not doing so well. So our phone call ended, and I reflected, and I asked myself, what can I do to make him feel better, to make him feel cared for and appreciated? I didn't have an answer. I went searching for some ideas on his social media page of things that he liked. And I came across this post that said, "My vote for dinner tonight is tacos." You can probably guess where this is gonna go. This thought crossed my mind. I'm like, oh, what would happen if I surprised him and his wife with their favorite meal tonight? So I went on Uber Eats, the grocery delivery service app, and I found this taco dinner for two, and I purchased it, and I put a special note for the delivery person. It said, "Hey, this is from your friend Sam, and he hopes you feel better." You know, when you order food on an app like that, you could watch the car
Yes.
drive down all the streets. I sat at the front door of my house watching this vehicle take every single turn. And I get a notification 20 minutes later saying the food had been delivered. Within literally 15 seconds, I get a video call from Andrew and his wife, Emily, and they're sitting on bar stools at their kitchen counter. There's a box of tacos open behind them on the countertop, and they're both bawling their eyes out. And my friend Andrew, you ever try to cry and talk at the same time? He's like trying to hold it together. And he's like, Sam, we are never gonna forget this moment. These tacos changed our life. I'm like, dude, relax. It's three tacos in a cardboard box. And he's like, no, for you, it's just three tacos in a box. But for me and my wife, it's a moment that we'll never forget. And I'm getting goosebumps right now.
Me too.
I think back to those moments in my life where people went out of their way to do things for me that they probably thought were insignificant, that they probably don't even remember or think about to this day, but they had such a big impact on me. I think back to an experience when I was in Italy for soccer at 13. I lived there for 6 months. Someone broke into our dorm room and stole all of our belongings. I walk into the school hallway, start uncontrollably crying because I didn't speak Italian. I couldn't even tell the school staff what had happened. And my teammate Alessandro sees me in the hallway. And instead of just walking by, which would have been the easier thing to do, he said, "Hey, can I help you?" And he walked me into the principal's office and he translated the entire situation in Italian so that we could start an investigation. Alessandro was from Australia. I haven't talked to him in like 8 years. Do you think he wakes up every single day and jumps out of bed and thinks, "Oh, I remember that one time Sam was crying in the school hallway in Italy 11 years ago and I helped him out?" Probably not.
No.
But can you guess who still thinks about it and talks about it on podcasts just like this to this day?
Yeah. Wow.
So Andrew and his wife never forgot about the taco situation. And for the next 6 months, every day they would send me 500 taco emojis. Every time we talked on the phone, they'd bring it up. And then on my birthday, the thing that actually turned it into a story is that he hired a graphic designer to make this logo that says, "Be someone's taco."
Oh, that is awesome.
And
Oh
for
my
everyone
gosh.
that's just tuning in and can't see it, it's a bright yellow smiling taco. And above it, it says, "Be someone's taco." And he said, "I want you to use this story to encourage students and educators to understand that sometimes the actions they take that seem insignificant actually have the biggest impact. And that one of the most meaningful aspects of life is being of service to other human beings." And I started incorporating it in my school speeches. And during the pandemic, someone from Taco Bell saw this on my social media. And we established a partnership where all the schools I was speaking at for a set period of time, they would create custom coupons that students and staff could bring to a local Taco Bell and
Yeah.
get a free taco.
Right.
In exchange for doing a kind act in the community. And
Perfect. Great.
it was a really cool partnership.
That is fantastic. That and they got your back. I mean, that's the thing is now you've got people supporting your cause because they see how important it is and it spreads, doesn't it? It spreads all the way out throughout the whole community. People talk about it, keep going. Okay, so where do we go from here, Sam?
That's a great question. The project I'm working on right now is called Be Someone's Taco, which is a children's
Perfect.
picture book.
Yeah.
And then the next project after that is the Kenya tour. So if there's educators listening that want to connect, I would invite them to reach out to follow me on social media. All my social media is just Sam underscore Demma. That's Sam underscore Demma. While you're listening to this, I encourage you to pull out your phone and go and find it. Secondly, after that, I would say if you're not already subscribed to this podcast, The Thriving Educator, I don't know what you're waiting for. Please make sure you do that. And then if you're ever coming to Canada, consider me your Canadian friend. If you're listening from the US, I'd be happy to share travel recommendations. I've traveled all across the country, and would love to provide some ideas.
Yeah, and you do what do you do? Like, you'll talk to a whole group of students in like an auditorium, or what's that like?
Yeah, so every event is slightly different, but I would say the majority of my work is full school assemblies, or student leadership or educator conferences. So if you're looking for a younger speaker who likes to use storytelling to spread important messages around SEL and kindness and mental health, please reach out. I would love to see and learn how I could serve your school and your community. Or if you're looking at a student leadership conference or a teacher convention, I would love to chat about those things also. But typically, full school assembly in an auditorium or a gymnasium, or an event venue.
You know what they're going to see in you that I see in you is so many of our students that sat in our classrooms are in you. Like you represent that very well. And what we get to see is like the outcome that can be. Does that make any sense to you?
I follow.
Okay. Because I had so many of those students and we had a lot of these conversations just because of what I got to teach. And it's really powerful when you extend that humanness to them and see them like your teacher did to you. And or just sharing a message that's helpful, right? That little piece, but then you took something and did that with it. It's
I
powerful.
hope that every educator listening is feeling inspired to continue showing up and bringing their best selves to work each day, even when students may not be writing you those thank you notes or shaking your hand after class. It took me over a year before I went back to my teacher and thanked him and let him know that he made a big difference on me. And I think in education, we plant a lot of seeds that we don't get to watch grow because students leave our classrooms or, our teachers leave our school buildings. And sometimes we think because we didn't hear a verbal thank you right away, it means we're not making a difference. And it couldn't be further from the truth. So keep showing up. You're making a massive impact. I will end with this quick little story. I was in Oxford, Michigan recently. I was speaking for a group of 300 football players, athletes in Michigan. And when I arrived at the airport, there was a shuttle bus that was taking us from the airport to the rental car facility. And I walked on the bus, and the bus driver is belting lyrics to his favorite worship music. And this big smile is on my face. I couldn't help it. And I walked past him. I said, "Sir, you must be having a good day." And he looked at me and he said, "Oh no, here? We don't settle for good." And I couldn't stop chuckling. And I walked and I sat down, and he went on the intercom and he said, "Psh, welcome everybody. My name's Melvin. And if you hear me singing, don't be alarmed. These 8 hours driving is my rehearsal time. So feel free to sing along." And the whole bus ride to the rental car facility sang songs. And
Oh.
I had a delayed flight twice. We took an hour in the airport shuttle waiting for the bus to come. I was a little agitated. But the moment I walked on the bus, my emotions immediately changed. And the crazy thing is that Melvin didn't say anything to me. Just by carrying the energy he carried, he had an impact on me. And it's the same in education. It's not only about what you say and the lessons you teach, but it's how you show up. So keep showing up for your kids. It makes a massive, massive impact.
You just gave a bunch of educators purpose again. Thank you for that.
You're
Wow.
welcome.
Ugh, okay. What is the very first thing they need to do to get in touch with you directly?
Just reach out. If you search Sam Demma, SAMDEMMA on Google or on any social media platform, I would invite you to send a message. I will get back to you as soon as possible. So any social media or the website.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sam, for your wisdom, your incredible wisdom at 24 years old, your insight, your demeanor, and your service. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on the show, Charlie.
Did you get your school mental health audit yet? You can get it at thrivingeducator.org/audit. And if you're working on mental health PD planning, check out all the ways we can support you while you're there on our website already. It's just under professional development. And listen, if you found value in today's episode, please share it in your network for those who will benefit. And if you could give it a rating and review it, that would be great. We really appreciate you. Thanks for listening.